This is a special edition of Late Night Health. I'm Mark Allen. Cancer touches each and every one of us, if not yourself personally and your family, or somebody you know, a friend, a family, a relative. Cancer is pervasive in our society. And while cancer deaths have decreased over the last 20, 25 years, the incidence of cancer has increased, and the scare, the shock of being told you have cancer has not gone away. Our guest is an amazing man. His name is Dr. Chris Apfel. He's a doctor. He has a PhD, and he's also has an MBA. Very smart man. He's a clinical researcher and founder and CEO of Sage Medic. Dr. Apfel, welcome to Late Night Health.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
You have created a game-changing testing procedure that I want everybody who is watching now to understand that the first time you have a cancer treatment, statistically, it's about a 30% chance of being cured. But through your testing, you can increase that to 80% or almost 80%. I want to get into that in a minute, but your study of cancer is very personal, and I wanted to start with that. Both of your parents passed from cancer?
Yeah, that's right. So I've had the great opportunity to do a lot of clinical research as an anesthesiologist, as an intensivist. I've published over 100 peer-reviewed papers. I've published in major journals such as the New England Journal of Medicine, a 5,000 patient study that was cited by other authors and researchers over 2,000 times. So all very good. And but at some point my dad was diagnosed with lung cancer, and I was beyond belief to realize that even today, while we all say the future is here now, that very often the treatment is basically in the past. My father actually refused treatment and said to me, unless you can promise me that this will work, I will not have it. And the reason for that was that when he took care of my mother who had ovarian cancer, that he saw how she suffered, how it made her worse, and didn't work. And it was actually only then that I actually spoke with Dr. Yahan from UCSF. So I've been recruited to the University of California in San Francisco when some of those main papers came out, and have done a lot of clinical research there. And so I've been on the Cancer IRB, the Institutional Review Board, where we look at the latest breakthrough studies, how we can actually help cancer patients. And so I knew a lot of oncologists, and I asked our expert for lung and mesothelioma cancers what the options are and what we can do. And he said, well, he needs chemo. And I said, he doesn't want it. I don't think if I'm flying over tomorrow to Germany, he will not take it. What's the likelihood that this will work? And he said to me, oh, you don't want to know. He said, they're not great. And I said, well, I'm also a drunk professor for biostatistics and epidemiology, so I like numbers. Give me the numbers. He said, well, objective tumor response rates are about 30%.
Wow. Let me stop you right there. As a son and as a physician yourself, you had to have felt helpless at that point.
Yes. And that's the tragedy. The response rates are so low that I said to him, wait a minute. We don't know whether it's going to work. So we experiment on patients and call this standard of care, because that's always the big argument is your treatment. Does it meet the standard of care? That's important for being covered by insurance, and it's important for staying out of trouble in terms of liabilities. But if standard of care only gives you a response rate of 30%, that's unacceptable. So I said, why can we not test the tumor first before trying it out on the patient? And he said, oh, we have tried this before. that didn't work. You know, it doesn't often, what you see in the lab doesn't translate to a patient.
Wow. And you have created a testing protocol.
Right. So what I did is actually in the first year, I went back to the drawing board. I usually look in what have other people have done over the last years and decades. And I went back into the 1970s, where assays were developed to predict the response to infections, to bacteria, as well as to tumors. Now, today, if somebody is in the ICU, in the intensive care unit, and has a sepsis, we always submit some specimen for antibiotic sensitivity testing to the pathology lab. And then we adjust our therapy, our antibiotics, based on what these germs are most sensitive to. And
And
that's what we give. But we don't do this for cancer.
let me interrupt here, so that if we had three different patients, they all have the same kind of tumor, would they all react differently to the
Exactly.
treatments?
Exactly. And that's the challenge. The challenge is that from the primary tumor location, you still don't know for sure what would work best. What has been found out over the last couple of decades is some type of lung cancers tend to respond more commonly to drug A versus drug B. Some sort of ovarian cancers tend to respond better to drug B than to drug C. But these are averages of patients. And so these averages do not give you the understanding which one is the best treatment for that individual patient. And because every patient's tumor is different, you actually need to test this ahead of time. And that has been, there have been attempts in the 80s and 90s to do that. And they have actually shown some effectiveness. And I went through all this in order to see, aha, there is a way to do this. So I looked into this. Where did it fall off the cliff? Why did it not work? And to overcome those limitations, we developed our own platform so that we can actually make that prediction with over 80% of accuracy.
And we want to mention that if you or a family member, a friend, is undergoing or about to undergo cancer treatment, you might recommend Sage Medic as a potential to increase the longevity of the patient. That's the bottom line.
And ideally, increase your chance for a cure. So if you, for example, have a early stage cancer where, let's say an early stage ovarian cancer where perhaps some lymph nodes are involved, there's always a concern, are there some other tumors around in the body that should be treated? And for that, one would do so-called adjuvant therapy. So therapy in addition to the surgery. And for the adjuvant therapy, we actually don't know which treatment is usually best. There is usually a platinum-based is standard of care, but unless the tissue is sent to us, and it should be arranged before, well before the surgery, because we need fresh tissue. Unless the fresh tissue is sent to us, we cannot tell ahead of time, cannot know which treatment would be best.
I'm going to summarize from a layperson. So the tissue comes in, and you test the standard of care treatments to find the best one that will work on that particular tumor.
Yes. And so the staying within the standard of care is actually especially important when there is a good prognosis. And you want to then to give the oncologist the opportunity to have superior care within standard of care. That's one area. And it's especially important when a patient is scheduled for surgery and it needs to be arranged ahead of time, because normally tissues from the surgery are thrown into formalin, then they're fixed, and afterwards we cannot use that tissue for testing. So it needs to be arranged ahead of time.
So that you can do the testing so that the oncologist can say, oh, instead of using what I thought we would use, A, I'm going to use Protocol C.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And the results, you've done studies on your testing. How does that improve the patient's ability to be cured and to live a longer life?
Mm-hmm. So what I mentioned to a friend earlier this morning, I've been actually impressed with how well the test performs since we launched. We just launched a couple of months ago. I've actually been impressed how different those tumors are responding to the different therapies. And that's extremely encouraging. And in our previous work, before we started SageMedic, when we looked through the literature, it became clear to me that we will be able to predict tumor response with over 80% of accuracy. And in one of our predicate assays, we have seen that you can actually predict that a patient's tumor cannot respond to a certain therapy with over 90, if not 96% of accuracy. And so avoiding those drugs to which the patient would be resistant is equally important. And the reason why we can say this is if we give in vitro, in our lab, a concentration that's higher than a patient can tolerate, but the tumor would nevertheless be viable and basically perhaps even grow under those conditions, we can know with very high certainty that it would be only harmful for that patient. We can avoid that, and by that, increasing and basically doubling the odds for having a tumor response.
You have a chart, 1 in 4 patients, I believe.
Right. So 1 in 4 patients is actually an interesting chart that I've done before, and it applies to a number of scenarios. So 1 in 4 patients have mutations that we could theoretically address with targeted therapies. There's a lot of genomic testing, a lot of cancer biology understanding advancement have been there in the last 2 decades. And there have been targeted therapies. They are very selective. They have higher chance of effectiveness. They're not 100% guaranteed, but more effective, less side effects. But the problem is only 1 out of 4 patients have those mutations, and even less will actually respond to the therapy. Then 1 in 4 patients often only responds to chemotherapy if they are among those 3 out of 4. And that is especially for late stage patients. When we talk about lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, glioblastoma, usually less than 1 in 4 will actually respond to the therapy. So the 1 in 4 applies actually for a number of really different scenarios.
The scenarios being different forms of cancer.
Right. So it applies for only 1 in 4 patients have mutations that we might target more specifically to have a better outcome. And then for the remaining 3 in 4 of those, often only 1 in 4 responds to the therapy that they get, especially when they're late stage cancers.
Should people today be afraid to hear you have cancer?
I do think it's important to look at the facts, and so that we can take precautions and take the best possible action. Afraid is probably more a term of being stressed out. I don't think it helps anybody being stressed out, but one needs to be proactive, and it's important to take your health into your own hands.
The panel have oncologists embraced this, the ones that know about it? It's still new.
It's still new, and oncologists are looking for outcome studies. And of course, because we just launched it, we don't have a large range of outcome studies. So there is some, I would like to say, hesitancy and apprehension, and the concern that there may be recommendations that go outside of standard of care. So in an early stage, we often try to stay within the standard of care so that the oncologists are comfortable and can choose without any problem which therapy they can select. However, patients often approach us and say, I don't care about standard of care. I want to get cured. And if the treatment doesn't work, it's important to give patients and oncologists the information that there is actually something that can be done. Very often the question is, or the concern is, oh, there's nothing I can do for you. And we had this in a situation where of a 13-year-old girl with a rhabdomyosarcoma, and the mother came to us. This patient had a lung metastasis of this soft tissue tumor of the leg, and we got that specimen. We tested dozens of different drugs, also repurposed drugs that go beyond standard of care per patient, per mother's request. And currently, this patient is in full remission. So we are really delighted that we can actually give hope to patients that there may be opportunities that otherwise would not be considered.
When you and I have talked and before the interview, and I should say that our guest is Dr. Chris Apfel. He's a medical doctor, an anesthesiologist, as he told me. He has a PhD and also an MBA, very smart man, and is the founder and CEO of Sage Medic. Sage Medic is a test that can be used to determine the best approach to treating cancer. That's it in a nutshell, I believe. You mentioned the term, and I have as well, standard of care. Does standard of care today bookend an oncologist so that they can only go so far in treating a cancer patient?
It depends on the situation. Standard of care is something that is important to me. I do think that there is good evidence for it, that standard of care that's based on evidence-based medicine is in general associated with improved patient outcomes. So the evidence-based community wants the standard of care to be really founded in what's the available, best available evidence. And that's the attempt. That's the reason why the NCCN, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network, have drafted guidelines for each tumors, very sophisticated, very differentiated, how to treat. Those guidelines have unfortunately merged into kind of like the eternal law that goes beyond the solar system. And and it's often no longer questioned, and especially not questioned even if the treatment doesn't work. And very often new developments, the adoption of new developments in the guidelines is also associated with developmental delays. So the standard of care, while then also being used by insurance companies for denying requests if something is outside of standard of care, is in principle very good. The challenge with cancer is if the cancer is resistant against certain therapies that we can know ahead of time, providing that standard of care could do more harm than good. And so the key is to find a way to help oncologists on the one hand side to stay within standard of care as reasonably possible, but then if that does not work for patients, being able to do what's right for the patient.
It would also seem to me to save money for the insurance companies. For example, person has a melanoma. They without the test from Sage Medic, they do what everybody else is doing, and it doesn't work. So they wait a certain length of time, and they try another drug, another protocol, another treatment. Each of these are expensive. But if they used your test, it would seem to me that it would save the insurance company money and, more importantly, possibly save lives.
Yes and no. Melanoma may not be the ideal example. Melanoma is interesting because that's where immunotherapies have made a real breakthrough. In early stage melanoma, But also in some exceptional cases in late stage melanoma, immunotherapy was able to cure, have long-term remission for metastatic melanoma patients. So there is a real game changer that came on the market 5 to 10 years ago. So that's wonderful. Unfortunately, it doesn't translate with such high success rates to other tumors. While immunotherapy is often given for lung cancers as well and has now also moved into first-line therapy, it is the tumor response rates are in the 20% range, and those who have a sustained response are even less. And so the immunotherapy, even though it's currently the biggest market because these are branded drugs, and therefore there's a lot of marketing efforts in immunotherapy, even more than in targeted therapies, and for most patients, they don't work. When they then don't work, then, and there is metastatic disease, having a biopsy and sent to Sage can give them an understanding whether it makes sense to apply one of those targeted or chemotherapies.
I probably should have said this earlier, asked this earlier. Sage has several meanings. One, it's an herb, and people use it to cook with. Very aromatic herb. But sage is also an elder, if you will, in a community. Is that how you pick the name?
The second one is true.
Yes.
We do believe that what we need is somebody who sees the patient in a holistic way and somebody who is willing to think outside of the box to do what's really in the patient's best interest, not what is expected by guidelines according to what's considered standard of care in that individual specialty. One needs to consider all the aspects of this patient and the preferences and the individual needs to make the right decision.
Let's take a look at targeted therapy. I wrote a note. You mentioned that, and that's also a fairly new way of treating cancers. Can you describe that and tell us the success rate with targeted therapy?
Yeah. So in general, 1 out of 4 patients have genomic alterations where the gene is changed that we understand how it changes the biology of the tumor. And for about 1 out of 7 patients, there are FDA-approved targeted therapies that can be given if a certain mutation is present. If a certain mutation is present, the patient is eligible and the insurance has to cover targeted therapies. Unfortunately, not everybody is responding to it. The response rates are higher than with chemotherapy in general, but they're never 100%. They are somewhere between 30 to 70 to 80% at most. That's not a guarantee. So if you have a genomic mutation and therefore are eligible to receive a target therapy, it's not a guarantee that's going to work in your case.
You're talking about a genetic mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have those, do we not?
We all have genetic mutations. And actually, the interesting thing is we have actually, before a cancer becomes cancer, there are many mutations that change different behaviors of the cell, whether the cell migrates elsewhere, whether it eats into other cells, whether it divides rapidly and doesn't die off, and whether it can overcome and defend itself against the immune system. So there are different mutations that all occurred, so multi-hit hypothesis. Only then the cancer becomes clinically meaningful. It is believed that cancer cells evolve in our body every day. And they're usually not viable because they destroy a certain pathway and therefore they go away. Those that are viable, then they also need to acquire additional mutations in order to really become a cancer and to survive and to become aggressive. So these are, and so just targeting one mutation for one drug is an oversimplification, is one of the reasons why genomic testing has its limitation in understanding which therapy is likely to be best.
Can SageMedic improve that?
Exactly. And we can complement that in two ways. Number one, we can say which chemotherapies are effective, but we can also measure which targeted therapies and how they compare. And so that gives the oncologist a more comprehensive view on the available treatment options.
The other word you used a while ago was repurposed drugs. And prior to us talking, you mentioned a statin drug that has been shown to kill tumors. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting. I've heard from integrative oncologists about potential benefits of repurposed drugs. I was a little bit skeptical about this, but we actually, per request, we have actually started to test a number of repurposed drugs. I personally had an affinity for itraconazole, which is an antifungal treatment, and there were several other drugs as well. Itraconazole in our test panel has never shown an effectiveness, even though I thought theoretically it would be nice. But we had other drugs, such as statins that you mentioned, or metformin, that actually have shown effectiveness. And now,
we should point out, statins are designed to reduce cholesterol.
That's right.
Right, and metformin, and there are a lot of studies on that to show improving brain function is the latest that I've seen. But it's used to for people who are diabetic.
That's right, and so in. If a tumor is cancerous, what often is known is that they have some metabolic derangements. One of this is the Warburg effect, that it actually loves sugar and thrives on sugar, which is probably one of the reasons why our cancer rates are going up, because we have so much sugar in our food, and because the sugar and obesity and the metabolic syndrome, they all drive cancer. And so one of that's probably the mechanism where metformin is acting. But tumors also require cholesterol for thriving and dividing. And so that's another reason why statins are likely to be effective for some tumors. Now, if you would say, okay, then I'll just use metformin and lovastatin instead of the chemotherapy, I think that would be a big mistake. There is actually, interestingly, an interesting lady who had stage 4 endometrial cancer, went through chemotherapy, but also looked into what are the metabolic characteristics of cancers so that she can, in addition to that, try to overcome it. And she is now disease-free for many years. Her name is Jane McClellan, and she has written...
She's holding you up right now.
and so the interesting thing is that she has actually looked into these pathways, and there are now many patients who have converted stage 4 cancer into a stable disease, or even have been able to obtain significant regression. So it doesn't work for everybody, and that's the reason why it needs to be tested. And we are the only platform that can actually test this ahead of time so that we understand what is likely to work and what's not likely to work.
As we wrap up, cure and remission. Everybody wants that four-letter word, cure, C-U-R-E. Remission is good. What's the difference?
Remission is when you have no detectable diseases. Theoretically, when you have there's no disease detectable, you don't know whether there is a remaining risk that somewhere a cell has hidden and then comes out and starts growing. However, in adjuvant therapy, if you pick the right drug, we know that long-term survival will actually stay higher if you get a drug that's effective to kill your tumor. And there could be a difference of 20% higher long-term survival. And that's the reason why I like to use the word survival, because you can actually increase your chance of survival. Oncologists don't like to talk about it because they prefer the word remission is more cautious and doesn't overstate and doesn't create false hopes. But I do think there is hope.
And that's what Sage Medic is all about, not creating false hope, but creating actual statistical analysis of your testing to save lives.
And that's our ultimate goal. We hope we will be able to help millions of cancer patients. And so that's where you should probably go to our website if you're interested. Take a look and learn more about sagemedic.com. And then if you have any questions, contact us. If there is an acute problem, if you are scheduled for surgery, contact us well ahead of time so that we can talk with you. We should then also talk with your oncologist or your surgeon to make sure they understand it and they become familiar with it, and that this can be leveraged to your benefit.
Dr. Affel, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it. We're going to do some more videos, to help spread the word, if you will, about Sage Medic, and maybe even do one directly for oncologists and physicians as well. If you want information, it's been up throughout our interview. Just go to sagemedic.com. If you have questions, you can on the website, you can start asking questions, and Dr. Appel and his team of about 14 people, I think, somebody will get back to you and guide you through using the test for yourself. Doctor, again, thank you very much for your time. I'm Mark Allen. This is Late Night Health.